Giles Beckford is here with business. Good morning.
You say that with such an air of resignation. Thank you very much, Susie Atamari. In the business news this morning, how slow will the economy grow? Have we forgotten the medium-sized business? And I'll bring you the latest from the money markets. The latest insight this week into how the economy's tracking is expected to show it's running out of steam, slowing up to its softest pace in 6 years. Gross domestic product figures for the 3 months ended June are out Thursday. The consensus is that quarterly growth will be 0.4%. That would take the annual growth rate to 2%. That's the slowest annual rate since the end of 2013. While the numbers are very much a look at the economy in the rear vision mirror, there's been more than enough weak data since to suggest that there are plenty of potholes ahead. I'm joined now by ASB's chief economist, Nick Tuffley. Good morning to you, Nick.
Morning.
You're picking 0.4, 0.5% for the quarter?
Yes, we're at 0.5% and actually in line with what the Reserve Bank is picking as well. So everybody's picking something which is, I guess, what we call a bit below what we can potentially do.
Right. What do you think the bright spots will be in the past 3 months?
Well, the area that we think's really been pulling the weight has been the services sector. So particularly in the sort of business-related sectors, arts and recreation, rather than the bits that have in the past been some key drivers such as, say, construction and also meat processing, retail being a bit weak as well.
So what do you think will be the particular black spots, if we can say that?
Well, we're expecting there to be a bit of a weakness in construction activity. So that does come after a fairly strong spurt of construction activity that we have had. So we do see construction holding up going forward, but certainly hitting a pothole in this particular quarter. And manufacturing activity does look like it's held up, but it's the meat processing part of it that's really taken a bit of a hit at this point. And we did really close our wallets up over this particular quarter as well. So retail sales volumes barely lifted. So that part of the economy was a bit missing in action.
We tend to look at these numbers, and in the past we've sort of dismissed them by calling them rear vision mirror, but there are more than a few signs, aren't there, that perhaps we can actually look forward from these numbers and say things are going to get slower.
Well, we're expecting, you know, pretty similar growth, if not slightly weaker, in the following quarter, and not really expecting growth to really gain any steam over the rest of this year. So we are looking at a period of growth that, when you sort of annualise it, you're sort of somewhere closer to about 2%, which is relatively slow. And you know, the concern, I think, is that with business confidence having been so low for so long and getting lower of late, that what is going to sort of drag things out of their malaise. And we're putting a lot of weight on those interest rate cuts to essentially fire up the household sector.
We should note and put some context to it, which is that even at 2%, New Zealand's performance is better than most of the developed world outside of the United States.
And that's good, but when you strip out the impact that our population growth is having, when our population is growing at around 2%, on a per capita basis, we're not actually growing that strongly. And that's sort of really the issue. We've got a really big tailwind for our growth, and that's just simply because we've got more people who want to eat, essentially, and need somewhere to live and go out and buy some clothes to wear.
So that points to what effect the Reserve Bank's rate cuts might have had. We've had 0.75%, 75 basis points so far this year, with the prospect of more to come. Is that flowing through into activity in any discernible way?
We're starting to see the early signs that it's impacting on the property market. So it's been a bit of fits and starts, but since the first interest rate cut and also the rolling out of a capital gains tax, we've started to see a bit of life come back into the market. So we'd expect that to continue. And what we're anticipating when we start to get into next year is that we will see consumer spending growth pick up a little bit. So the impact on people's wallets overall from those in the mortgage belt versus those tightening a belt, if they're a saver, will be positive for the economy. And we're also expecting that we will eventually see some recovery in business investment, but that doesn't look like that's happening in the near term, particularly with business confidence remaining low.
But we do need an economy that's dependent or that's driven by more than just a rise in property prices. That, of course, is one of the bugbears of the last 5 to 10 years.
Yes, it is. I think the encouraging thing about the New Zealand economy at the moment is that our export prices for the main are fairly strong, despite all the wobbles that we've seen overseas. So when we look at the economy, what we're actually seeing is the provincial New Zealand is doing fairly well because they're getting this injection of cash coming through from those strong export prices, particularly in the meat sector and in horticulture, fruit. areas. So that's encouraging. But what we do need is more productivity, and for that we need businesses to step up and start spending more. And at the moment, they've basically got their hard hat on in a huddle in a bunker.
One of your colleagues put out a paper last week with a somewhat attention-grabbing headline of, is the economy in recession, 30% chance of a recession? My immediate response was to say, of course, 70% chance that we're not. But is there any prospect at all that we could fall into negativity?
For that to happen, we do need to have, on a per capita basis, growth going backwards quite rapidly. The recession indicator model that we put out last week, it does sort of really flag that there are a few parts of the economy that have slowed down. So when we look at it ordinarily, in any given year, we'd have a 10 or 15% chance of a recession. Well, it's looking higher than that at the moment. One of the warnings there is, of course, business confidence and the yield curve being so flat or even negative as well. So it is a growing risk. What we have seen, around a 30% probability on our model, does really point to a period of below trend growth, subdued growth, and when growth is quite subdued, it doesn't sort of take much for you to stall and slip into, say, a technical recession. So the risk has lifted, but we're pretty mindful of that tailwind that we've got from the sheer number of people coming into the country.
Very quickly, we have heard so often in the past the government's got to step up to the plate and spend more, but it shows no signs of doing so.
Well, not at the moment, and I think there's that straitjacket that's been imposed at the moment. I think the thing we need to recognise is that with growth being, you know, likely subtrend for a little while, there's that opportunity for the government, and particularly if things were to get quite nasty globally, which you never say never these days, that's the sort of thing where the government stepping in and figuring out how it can effectively rev the economy up would be very handy for them to have in the back pocket.
Thank you very much. That's Nick Tuffley, the Chief Economist at ASB Bank. Well, the key to unlocking the full potential of medium-sized businesses may be just giving them a collective voice. A report on the power and potential of that size business by the advisory firm Grant Thornton suggests they're a powerhouse of employment and revenue, but they've been largely overlooked as a sector. The report suggests an increased focus and interest on their development could help boost productivity and the contribution to the economy. A partner at Grant Thornton, Stacey Davies, says medium-sized businesses face different struggles than larger and smaller firms.
Maybe people talking more, the wider business community can see where they might be able to support. Government might see where they could better provide support to these businesses to continue that growth curve and move to, you know, a really effective, productive business.
One of the things you identified was low productivity in that sector. You also identified that capital investment was low. Do those things go hand in hand?
I think they can do, because capital investment can bring opportunities for growth, and that investment can be access to expertise or other networks, and a lot of that expertise can be around the people. I think a lot of businesses, they're a little bit worried about diluting their control with investment. So sometimes it's a bit of a leap of faith that capital investment will actually give opportunities for the business, and that can lead to potentially an improvement in the productivity.
That's Stacey Davies of Grant Thornton talking to Nana Peltier. Time for a very quick look at the financial markets. Mixed end of the week on Wall Street. Cautious optimism about US-China trade issues. Dow Jones was up 37 points. The S&P 500 down a fraction, as was the NASDAQ. Our own top 50 index had a whole week of negativity. 5 days of losses. Starts the week at 10,863. The New Zealand dollar, 63.7 US cents, 92.7 Australian, 51 British pence, 0.576 euro, 68.9 Japanese yen, and 4.51 yuan. Brent crude oil edged down 16 cents, $60.22 US a barrel, but that was before the attack on the Saudi Arabian oil facility. We'll update the prices later in the day. And gold down $10, $1,488 US dollars an ounce.